coming to you live from beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Wow, what an amazing place. I'm looking out the back, out over the deck, and there is a magnificent mountain, Pikes Peak, and surrounding areas, clouds, blue sky, sunshine. Everything about Colorado Springs, Colorado is beautiful. This is the Mental Power Hour, and I am your host, T. LaVon Lawrence, NeuroSculpting Certified Mental Fitness and Brain Training Consultant, Mental Training Instructor, author, and designer of the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System for the life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, and stronger mental discipline and willpower while enhancing brain health and brain fitness. Fact, for most human beings on this planet, desire is the master influencer of their life and the main predictor of their destiny. You and everybody you know, as goes your desire, so goes your life. Fact, one of the signs of weak mental focus is unceasing, uncontrolled, and undirected wants, urges, and desires. Fact, if you're not getting what you want out of yourself, or if you're not getting what you want out of your life, then the problem is that you are not getting what you need out of your wants. Think about that. If you're not getting what you want, it's because you're not getting what you need out of your wants. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Fact, unleashing your mental and personal potential requires you to reduce the number of your desires, to narrow the number of targets, while increasing the consistency and intensifying the quality of your desire. That does not conflict. You need fewer desires, but the desires that you choose to keep and choose to nurture consciously have got to be more consistent, and they've got to be more intense. Desire is a tool. It is a cognitive tool that the conscious and growing person, the self-expanding human being, uses to build a better, more expansive, more significant life. And they train their minds to do this. Because, fact, training your mind for clarity of mental focus is the key for making it happen. And in order for you to have clear mental focus, you've got to have absolute control of your desires and their effects on your mind and body. Folks, have I got a show for you today. Mental focus versus aimless desires. Brain training for laser-like mental focus in relation to capitalizing on desire itself. You gotta use it. You can't allow it to use you and abuse you. In this episode, we're going to discuss the nature and experience of desire as it pertains to your one faculty of attention. And if I can get you to simply train your attention, I can show you everything you need to see and train you to do what's necessary to get a rein on your desires and then to direct those desires to be able to carve out the life you really want for yourself. So we're going to talk about the nature and experience of desire as it relates to your faculty of attention, your cognitive ability to attend to any specific target. We're going to talk about desire as it relates to your thoughts, as it relates to your physiology, your physical body. We're going to talk about how attention affects all those things, can control any of that if you're in control of it. We're going to talk about how desire pertains to your actions in any given moment, to your habits of action, the habits of action you need in order to form the kind of life you really want for yourself. And we're going to talk about why training your mind to take ownership and responsibility of your desires is how you're going to get what you want in life, how you're going to get the most from yourself. And we're going to talk about how to master the nature of desire. You've got to master it, or else it's by default, it masters you. You've got to learn to go from a slave to desire to a master of desire, thus a master of yourself. We're going to talk about how to train your attention to obey your command. That's the number one step. That is the absolute first requirement of self-mastery, self-discipline, and true, deep, profound mental focus. We're going to talk about practicing command of attention in order to discover what will means. You can't have willpower if you don't know what will is. I have yet to meet one single human being who has true willpower who doesn't know what will is. I've known a lot of people who are stubborn. I've known a lot of people who are persistent, but none of those have willpower. They have no command of their own will. They're just machines, just robots, and they can be thrown off course at any time. Command of attention, practicing command of attention, is how you're going to discover what will really is. And we're going to talk about how mastering the nature of desire means directing and holding your attention in the present moment so that you can let go of, detach from, and ignore previously acquired habits of desire. You've got to learn to let go and ignore the psychological cravings that take you off course, that distract you all the time. You've even got to learn to ignore the psychological urges that cause you to avoid doing what you need to do. In order to be able to do that, you've got to be able to detect those things. Then you've got to be able to detach from their effects, to break yourself out of the thoughts and the emotions that make up these experiences of desire and fear. I consider whenever you're avoiding something, you're desiring to do something else. You're desiring to avoid a certain circumstance, which means you're pursuing something that's an urge. To me, that's the same as desire. You desire to avoid a particular pain. And for many of us, that one desire keeps us from taking the leap of faith that we need to take to get what we want from ourselves and from our life. We're going to talk about how controlling and holding your attention in the present moment allows you to let go of the psychological and the physiological cravings, the urges, the physical urges that are basically just reactions to the mental stuff that you're going through. And when we talk about the nature of desire, you're going to see that it's not just mental. It happens in the mind and it flows out through the body. That's the entire experience. We're going to learn how not to be manipulated by the media and commercialism. How not to be manipulated by other people who use our own desires to get us to do what they want us to do. They have us chasing carrots, chasing approval, chasing their promises of wealth and all these other things that they can never really give us. We create those things ourselves. That is a true up and coming, expanding human being creates all wealth from within himself or herself. And best yet, I'm going to give you three intuitive brain training techniques that you can use to get started on the path to better self-discipline, to better ownership of your desires, for better management of the urges and cravings and desires that flow through your psychological and physiological system. Three techniques. We're going to talk about just simple sitting still. I'm going to show you how sitting still can make you a stronger person, more disciplined person. We're going to talk about using your attention bubble, learning what that means and mastering it so that you can control it and direct it just by simple breathing. I'm going to tell you how to eat your meals to become superhuman. That's a bold claim, I know. But we're going to go over it. Now, I schedule this as a two-hour podcast. I don't know how long it's actually going to take. Hopefully, it'll be a little bit shorter than that. Now, because it is a podcast, you can download it and listen to it at your leisure. Personally, I would listen to the whole doggone thing. Go grab me some popcorn, sit down, and go all the way through, because I eat up this kind of information. I don't know. You take your time, you do it at your own pace. But it's about a two-hour podcast. Go for it. It's on Blog Talk Radio. Now, as part of that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the live personal and group training summaries for this past couple weeks. I do live one-on-one training with individuals, and I do training with businesses and organizations. I'm going to tell you a couple things that we've been talking about that I figure are important for you that you can use. Now, don't call in during this episode. It's pre-recorded. I tried to do the live show earlier, but apparently Colorado Springs doesn't want me to have a stable internet connection to be able to do these things. Thank you, Colorado. Mountains, weather, don't know what it is. I've been here 2 weeks. I have not been able to get a really good, stable wireless connection. I've been up to Starbucks. I've been to the library, all kinds of issues. But doesn't matter. The show's recorded. That means it's in the training archives. You can access it whenever you want. That means you can refer other people to it, which is good. So, how valuable is this episode for you? Let me tell you something. If you can get simple control of what you want and when you want it, you can own your life. You have your destiny in your hands. Now, in life, there are some things you cannot control. Impossible. No human being can control. But that's not your concern. What you can control is yourself. Where you place your attention. How you actually distribute your time and your energy. You can control whether or not you are a puppet on a string, or you are a master of your own life, a hero in your own life. If you do not have conscious control of your desires, you are a puppet on a string. And folks, I am not trying to insult you personally, but I assure you, and you will learn this once you begin your training, that if you have not trained consciously, intentionally, and with purpose to master the cognitive phenomenon of desire, the neurophysiological phenomenon of desire, you are a puppet on strings. This episode teaches you how to cut the strings and how to walk through life on your own without being manipulated, without being conditioned, without being brainwashed, without being a slave to things that you have no idea you're enslaved to. You can name your destination and get there, but most of all, you can know whether it's truly your destination or did somebody implant it in your mind and you're just living as a slave. I can't tell you how many people I talk to on a weekly basis who are successful business people and have no true, genuine desire to be doing what they're doing. They want to be doing something else. And you'd be shocked to know what they would rather be doing. Some of my trainees are living what you might consider to be glorious lives. And they're craving something much, much simpler. Because the lives they're living are not particularly pleasant, because deep down inside they know they did not choose those paths. Money and material goods will only take you so far. There are laws of the mind that cannot be broken, and there are no exceptions. That's why you see so many people who you would think would have great, grand lives, and they're miserable in the media. By the way, I've got a gift for you. Most of the time, this show is based on a free training course that we give away at the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio. The name of that course is 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness. It is not a training course that you do for 7 days and suddenly you're going to be this great Einstein, this massive mental powerhouse. No, this is a course that you can read in 7 days and have more than enough information and techniques and approaches to carry you for months. You go to www.neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com. You look up top, you'll see a one tab says free 7-day course. Go in there, slap in your email, put in your first name. You will get an autoresponder that tells you how to download the course. All you got to do is confirm that you're the person who really wanted to get the course, and boom, you're there. You get a forum that you can go to and ask questions. It's a magnificent forum. People are finally starting to use it. I've been talking about this forum for months, and only now people are starting to realize, hey, I can go in here, ask all the questions I want, get all the help I want, and the guy's not charging me hundreds of dollars. And then you've got this radio show to back you up. If you've got something you want answered, a topic you want spoken about, hey, just let me know. Let me know in the forum or just send me an email, trainer@neurosculpting.com, T-R-A-I-N-E-R, @neurosculpting.com. Let me know if there's a topic that's on your mind that has to do with mental fitness, with personal growth, with cognitive development and skills acquisition. You want to be smarter, you want to be faster mentally, more flexible, greater endurance mentally. Brain training, ask those questions. Better to answer them in the forum where everybody can get the benefit, because eventually all answers are going to be put in the forum. And some of them, I'm going to even use video to answer those questions. I got a guy who asked several questions in the forum yesterday. I'm going to answer those with video and some with audio. I want to make it a place where you can go and be able to get all the information you need. The Mental Power Hour is brought to you by the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio for life-changing development of improved mental concentration, better mental focus, stronger mental discipline and willpower, while enhancing what? Brain health and brain fitness. Visit the studio at www.neurosculpting.com, NEURO-sculpting.com. And when I say brain health and brain fitness, you know the thing that if you become an actual subscriber to the training studio itself, I've got two sections. I've got the free course that I help thousands of people, and I've got the actual subscription course that people go to when they really are serious and they want to get even more information and more help. Okay, once you become a subscriber and you go in there, oh my gosh, you discover just an amazing amount of helpful, useful material in there. One of the first things I teach people as part of our comprehensive overview in the training for the people who are members of the studio is that from our perspective, brain power is not an academic exercise in doing mental tricks at parties. Brain power is not about being able to do mental calculations and speed reading and that sort of thing. It's not about playing the types of brain games that you can get all over the internet and you can even put on your smartphone for free. That stuff does not give you brain power. It does not enable you to be more than you are right now. Now, they're useful and they're practical, but they do not truly unleash who you are capable of becoming. If you've been doing brain training for months and months, you've been doing games, you've been listening to like binaural beats and doing meditation, and you're still in the same place in the same way that you were previously, you have not acquired brain power. You haven't learned a thing. The NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training System is about acquiring brain power, which is personal power, which is the ultimate expression of having gained growth and power in your own mind and in your own brain. If you can't do what you truly want to do with your life after playing months and months of games and doing all this brain training, if nothing's really changed for you, you haven't learned anything. The NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio is about doing just that, about learning and everything you need to know and about acquiring the mental skills you need to do what it is you want to do in life. Now, next week's show is going to go about 2 hours. It's going to be an open line day. It will be live. I will not be in Colorado Springs. I will be in a place where I can actually get a great connection. I know I'm going to get all kinds of email from people in Colorado Springs going, "Hey, you just went to the wrong place." Well, I was at the McDonald's up there on Woodman. I went to the Starbucks. I went to the Starbucks up there on Austin Bluff. I can't get a great connection. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, next week's show is going to be live about 2 hours. It's going to be an open line, frequently asked questions show. This is the show where you need to call in and ask your training questions to get detailed answers. 2 hours. Call in, get your questions answered. Next week's show, open line and frequently asked questions show here on Blog Talk Radio at the Mental Power Hour. The big disclaimer. The information we provide on the Mental Power Hour is for educational and informational purposes only. Educational, informational, and entertainment. We don't claim or suggest that you ignore the advice of legitimately qualified mental health care professionals. I don't care how stupid some of that advice is. I don't care how ignorant some of those people are. I'm not telling you not to listen to those guys. If you feel you may have a serious mental health issue, you should consult your doctor. Now, I'm not going to be issuing bad advice. I'm going to be issuing excellent advice that will absolutely transform your life. But if you're working with somebody, keep working with them. And I do have a problem with that sometimes. I get people, they tell me what the advice they get from their medical doctors and from their mental health care professionals, and it stuns me just how much ignorance there is out there, how much mental laziness there is in the industry, that these people have not gotten help. I get people who have been with therapists and counselors and psychiatrists for years, and they haven't learned a single thing they really need to learn in order to be able to solve some of the mental issues that they have. People who have been making the same mistakes and doing the same painful things in their lives for years, and not once have these so-called mental health care professionals done what's necessary to actually resolve the problem. But I tell you what has happened, they've made a lot of money off these poor folks. In any case, hey, listen to your healthcare professional, but doggone it, you better listen to the show, because you might hear something that's really going to solve your problem. Now, live personal and group training summaries for this past couple of weeks. One thing you need to know when it comes to live training, at the Mental Fitness Training Studio at neurosculpting.com, we have two sections. We have the free section where you can do all the training you want under the 7 days of Better Brain Fitness System. Hey, there's more than 30 techniques. I'll give you all the answers you need. Not a problem. I want you to have a fantastic mental life. But we have a second area for people who are truly serious, who really want to maximize their mental potential, and they want to go past the basics and get into the more advanced stuff. They really want to make an impact. I'll tell you who really signs up a lot for the paid subscriptions. Business people, business owners. We get plenty of students, which surprises me. I would think the students would stay with the 7 day. No, they really want, a lot of these people want to make straight A's. A lot of these are, they're in doctorate program, a lot of graduate students, people who want to become physicists, surgeons. It seems to me that when it comes to the students, the ones with the largest ambitions are the ones who sign up for the actual subscriptions. Now, from a professional standpoint, we get lots of military, we get doctors, lawyers, business people. These are folks who sign up for the paid subscription because they're trying to get somewhere, they're trying to get there in an efficient way, and they want to know everything they need to know in order to be able to do it. Now, the way the subscriptions are laid out, we have a monthly subscription, a quarterly, and a yearly subscription. Now, up to this point, the quarterly subscription and the yearly subscription got you direct access to a mental fitness trainer, mostly got you direct access to me personally. You got to talk to me on the phone, and I help you customize your training to your life individually. We are changing that, guys. we've hit the breaking point. It has gotten to the point to where I'm helping so many people improve their mental quality of life that it's making it difficult for me to help even more people. What I mean by that is this. We've got thousands of people who take the 7-day course and who are training with that. I deal with hundreds of questions on a weekly basis. I've got a ton of people who are subscribers also, and unfortunately they do take top priority because they are paying subscribers. You know, I'm a very generous guy, but I got to make sure I give the priority where the priority is supposed to be. These people are paying for this, you see. What has happened is we've gotten so many subscribers that it's now very difficult for me to call everybody. It's gotten to the point where I'm going to have to actually cut off the subscriptions that allow people to talk directly to me outside of a classroom environment. So here's what we're going to do. The month of May is the last month that we're offering person-to-person one-on-one training in its current format. You'll be able to sign up for the monthly training, quarterly, and yearly training, but the way it's going to work is you'll have a low monthly subscription rate. If you sign up for the quarterly, you're going to have a discount off of that, and if you sign up for the yearly, you'll have an even bigger discount. What do you get with that? Of course, you get the massive amount of available training in attention control training, mental concentration training, thought control training, mental focus training, impulse control training, and power of will training. You get all those modules that are constantly being created. You get, and then on top of that, you get access to the weekly training classes. We do live weekly training classes at the NeuroSculpting Mental Fitness Training Studio. We just switched over to GoToWebinar. Because we were using DimDim, I didn't like the results, and so we switched over to GoToWebinar, much, much better. Now, and I've already plotted all those seminars, those webinars out for the remainder of the year. We're going to throw in a bunch of extra webinars. They'll kind of be on the fly. You'll find out about them maybe one or two days beforehand, and you can register for it, and then you're in. It's all part of your subscription. You will get complete access. So when you go to that class, you'll get fantastic training. And, of course, when the class is over, you'll get to raise your hand online and ask any questions you want and get personal attention that way. But it's done in a way to where everybody gets the benefit of your answer. That way I'm able to help lots of people at one time. Do you see why that's so much better? Now, as a result of my having to cut off the one-on-one personal training as part of the packages, I get to help thousands more people, and that is much better than just helping a few people while everybody else suffers. You understand what I'm saying? But here's one thing that you can take advantage of if you're hearing the sound of my voice right now. For the remainder of the month of May, you can still sign up for the yearly training and get full access to me. At the end of May, that shuts down. When May is over with, if you want one-on-one training with me, you'll be paying the corporate rate, which is $1,500 a month minimum. So if I were you, if you want one-on-one training with this particular consultant, I would take advantage of this offer for the remainder of the month of May. You pay the $199 for the 1 year subscription, and you get one-on-one training. When May is over with, that will no longer exist. You will have to either go through the company that you worked for and have them pay, and then you take advantage of it, or you'll have to pay the corporate rate yourself, which most people aren't going to want to pay $1,500 a month. Now, there are people who do. They got it like that. They got that kind of money. But I don't expect the average Joe to want to pay $1,500 a month. So, after May, all you do is go ahead and just sign up for the regular subscription and just attend the weekly classes live. You'll get all the information you want. And those classes, if you can't attend them because you're at work or something, those classes will be recorded and uploaded to their particular training modules in the in the Neurosculpting Training Studio for subscribers. So you won't miss out, but if you can be there live, that gives you a chance to actually raise your hand and ask a question and get some live training. And I will train you as much as you want, as long as it's in that classroom environment so that everybody can benefit. But if you want one-on-one training, you want an actual coach for yourself and your mind, take advantage of the $199 offer that goes through the end of May, because after that, it's over with. Now, that's what's happening in the Neurosculpting Training Studio. One of the things I've been dealing with for the past couple months, people asking me about combining direct method brain training with computerized games and also with binaural beat technology, such as with HoloSync. And I got to tell you, I've given my philosophy on the computerized games before. There are two main methods of brain training that you're going to be doing when you're doing brain training. One is computerized, or what I call indirect brain training. You play games, you do computer software games, you join sites like Lumosity, you do brain training games. Okay, but that is indirect training. You are using a game or a tool to be able to improve certain cognitive skills, and hopefully you will get some benefit that transfers to other areas of your life. Now, the science on computerized brain gaming is conflicting, because it is a multi-million dollar industry. You have neuroscientists that put out studies saying that this stuff is great for the brain and that it works. But you have other neuroscientists who are not getting paid by the brain training industry who are saying, no, this stuff does not increase your IQ. It does not transfer over to other tasks, or if so, it's very limited. So you have that war, that conflict going. Now, when I deal with people in the brain industry, when I deal with trainees, it all depends on what they personally conclude. I know for a fact that if you play computer brain games, there are some things that are going to improve. For one, you're going to get better at that game. That is guaranteed, and that's why on the opposite side of the issue, you have neuroscientists saying this is all bogus, that it's all sketchy. Yes, you'll get better at playing that particular game, but it won't make you a better golfer. It won't give you this skill or that skill. It won't transfer over. There has been no scientific study that is inarguably conclusive that it will transfer. None. The one main study that I do favor has to do with a training approach called dual impact. D-U-A-L N-BACK, B-A-C-K. If you want to do computerized brain training, go to Google, do a search for dual impact. You can get that for free. There are people who develop software apps. You can even get it on your phone now. If you're going to do computerized brain training, that is the one approach that has enough scientific backing that says that it can improve your cognitive performance across multiple areas. I will say that there are conflicting scientific opinions to that, but dual impact has the most popular and the most support so far as I'm concerned, if you're going to do it. Now, all the other brain games, guys, play them as much as you want to. Don't expect anything more than to get good at those games. That's what the science says. Now, scientists who work for these companies who develop these products will tell you, oh, yeah, you're going to become a genius. You're going to perform like Einstein, but they're selling you the product. The science is not that solid for them to be able to legitimately make those claims. But if you want to play it, go ahead and play it. But probably dual impact is going to be the one that you'll get the most benefit out of. And I only say that because I've read the studies. I've done it. I don't think it really does anything for me except allows me to practice what I've already developed through direct method brain training. Direct method brain training is when you take the cognitive skill that you want to develop and you develop it directly by applying it. Like, for instance, if you want to develop mental concentration or attention control, you actually train attention and mental concentration. You don't go pick up a game. You take your attention and you take your mental concentration and you practice it on something that's not entertaining, on something that does not capture your attention involuntarily merely because it's pretty and flashy. You will gain more mental power a lot faster if I just get you to gaze at a candle and control your attention that way than if I got you to play any of the computerized brain games. You will learn more about attention, you'll develop more control, you'll develop more skill through that direct method than you will by the indirect method. The direct methods are thousands of years old, and they have the science behind them. It's inarguable. You cannot argue against it. You cannot debunk it. You cannot refute it. Direct method brain training works. Now, what about things like binaural beats? I get lots of people who use Holosync and other binaural beat technology. It's where you listen to an audio effect and that takes advantage of something called entrainment. There is a so-called, and I get that word, so-called theory, scientific theory, that if you can use external stimuli to get your brain to operate at a particular brain with dominant brain wave frequency, to where you can relax simply by listening to these beats, or you can get into a state of concentration, or you can develop your brain. Guys, I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to leave it at that. Binaural beats and Holosync is horse hockey. The claims they make are nonsense. There is no legitimate peer-reviewed science out there to support it. None. Go to sciencedaily.com. Type in binaural beats, B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L, space, beats, B-E-A-T-S. You will find no legitimate science and research that says that this stuff boosts your brain power. It does not. Entrainment is a factual phenomenon in that your mind will start to reflect its dominant stimuli. For instance, if you're in the rain and it's raining and it's cloudy and it's thundery, you might be in a certain mood. It might be dark, or it might be kind of depressed, or you might be kind of bummed out. I take you and I put you on a beach where it's sunshine and the water, the surf is crashing and the birds are flying and people are rubbing on suntan lotion. You might be in a better mood there. That is the effect of entrainment. That's natural. It's normal. You're a human being. There are people who can only concentrate if they listen to a certain type of music. Some people, if you listen to rock and roll, you might not be able to concentrate, but if you listen to classical music and relaxed violin, you might be able to concentrate. And for some people, it's the reverse. They can't concentrate in a quiet environment, but they can concentrate better in a noisy environment, get more stuff done. That's entrainment. You're matching your environment. But here's the thing. Your environment is only going to have a temporary effect. Now, the claims of the makers of binaural beats and similar technologies just take that and utterly exaggerate it. They're claiming that binaural beats will improve sexual performance, for crying out loud. It's nonsense. I do not recommend Holosync or any other binaural beat type technology. None of that stuff. What I will recommend is that you train the very cognitive faculties that you're trying to improve through this stuff. You do it directly. If you want to learn to focus, if you want to learn to center yourself and to stay on a straight line and get control of who you are, work those cognitive faculties directly. Don't go buying nonsense pseudoscientific tools that do absolutely nothing except lie to you. If that's what you really want, learn to do meditation and don't get frustrated and give up like you do on most things. Stay with it. Get a good teacher. Learn to control your attention. Learn to develop your mental focus and your mental concentration. I would rather you play brain games and learn meditation at the same time than for you to go by spending hundreds of dollars on nonsensical pseudoscience. Another topic we've discussed this week. Guys, you've got to start where you are. I get business people all the time, business people, who come to me and say, T. Levon, the reason I'm taking this training is because I want to be the Mac Daddy. I want to be the Don. I want to be the big hustler player. I want to be a mogul, but I don't feel like I have what it takes. I need to be smarter. I need to be faster. I need to be better looking. I need this, 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 and that, and the other thing. And I tell them, no, that's not what you need. You've got to start where you are, and you've got to learn to own yourself. I can't tell you how many millionaires I know who can barely read. These guys, how many really successful people I know who are not eloquent, who are not Demosthenes, who are not great public speakers and orators. They're not particularly smart, but they're millionaires because they've got the one thing that a lot of these entrepreneurs who come to me think they don't have, but they do. They have practical intelligence. If you want to become successful in business, the most important thing that you can have is practical intelligence. And I'd say the second, actually there's two things you really need, that if I say they were the dominant characteristics. The primary thing you need is the ability to concentrate your mind. The second thing you need, most important, is practical intelligence. Look up the term practical intelligence and you'll find references to people like Henry Ford, people like Bill Gates. Bill Gates people will call him a genius. They even they didn't want to do it, but even Henry Ford was a genius because they had practical intelligence. Practical intelligence will get it done for you in business. You do not have to be an academic genius to get it done. What you need to do is to start where you are and learn to own and control and develop yourself as a human being, and that does not necessarily mean you need to be supremely well-read or well-spoken or anything like that. Now, these are characteristics that you would like to develop, but just as a general personal growth thing. You don't need them to become successful in business or in most things. But if you've got the mental focus, if you've got the ability to control your attention and apply it in a straight path along towards a specific target over in defiance of any type of distraction, you're going to get there. And finally, the last thing that I'd like to bring up that we've had in live training this week is centering your attention on a vision of yourself. That's one of the most difficult subjects I have when it comes to trainees. I talk about it all the time. I have show after show after show on visioneering and mental focus and on how you write your future by seeing it, sketching it out, writing it down. That's why people talk about writing down your goals. You don't write down your goals just to put it there on a note and then leave it. Writing down your goals is one of the few opportunities most people have for ever focusing on what they want. Now, after you've taken proper mental training, writing down your goals is just a reference because the real writing, the real sculpture happens in the mind itself. You don't need the stuff you've written because it is so fixed in your own brain circuitry. And one of the most important principles you're going to learn is that you need to become the person you're going to become, and you need to become that person right here and right now. You need to learn those characteristics. You need to figure out what characteristics do you need in order to win the battle that you want to win, or win the prize that you want to win in this life. For instance, let's refer back to the entrepreneurs that I referred to earlier. Okay? You want to be a fantastic businessman. You want to be a mogul. You want to operate various businesses, and you want to run them all successfully. You want more money than you can possibly spend, and you don't want to think about money and have to worry about bills ever again. You just kind of named the person you want to become. What is that person like? Let's say you saw yourself 10 years from now, and you've achieved all those things. How did you achieve those things? Who are you at that point? If you got what you wanted, who would you be? How would you think? What kind of emotional life would you have? What kind of habits would you have mentally and in your general life? What would you think about money? How would you feel about money? How would you treat money? What would you do with money? What would you think about time? How would you use your time? How would you invest your time? What kind of people would you hang around? What kind of topics would you be interested in? How would you carry yourself? How would you dress? What would be your philosophies? And you've got to sit down half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour a day or more, and consider these things. What happens when you actually start considering the future you? Guys, that is brain training. You are training your brain. You're literally starting to rewire and to re-sculpt your brain, orienting it to that future person. You're starting to focus on the right types of thoughts. You're starting to rewire your brain to bring up the right desires and physiological urges, hence our topic this week. You're starting to rewire your brain to start paying attention using its sensory acuity, its goal-seeking mechanism, to start paying attention and finding the right cues to suddenly start running into the right people, to suddenly start coming across the right knowledge, everything you need to be able to get that goal. But that's only going to happen when you turn your entire mind to that future person, to that future self. Now, it's not good enough for you to create a vision board. It's not good enough for you to simply write down your goal. It's not good enough for you simply to start collecting pictures. You've got to sit down and you've got to burn that stuff into your mind. Now, I've had several trainees this past couple of weeks. Their main motivator for pursuing a particular objective is that they want money. I ask them, okay, what kind of money are you looking on making? They give me an amount. I say, okay. Now, you have not been making that amount of money. And now, a couple of them in the past have made really, really good money. And, of course, you have an economy that turned south on them, and they weren't particularly prepared for it. Hence, one characteristic of the person they're going to become is they will never be unprepared again for something like that. They will always be ready. Did you know that in the past couple of years, in this so-called down economy, that there are thousands of new millionaires that have been added? There are numerous new billionaires that have been added to the rolls. People who know how to make money have been making a killing in this economy. There's a characteristic that every single one of us should have in our idea, in our vision of our future self. To never ever again be unprepared. You should be able to master the whole entire concept of productivity and how to generate business and generate money in any economy. So I've had these couple people, they've given me an amount. And I asked them, okay, let's say you want to make $1 million a year. What kind of person makes $1 million a year? What characteristics do you need to be able to do that? Most people I ask that question when it comes to their money goals, they've never even thought of it. But you need to think of it, because you're going to be thinking of those characteristics, because those are the characteristics you're going to integrate into your own personality, into your own habits. That is brain training. That is utterly rewiring your brain to be a different person. It is 1,000 times more powerful than any computerized brain game you will ever play, because this is the game of life. That is the ultimate form of brain training. Is becoming the person you need to become. You cannot get more powerful brain training than that. So back to the question of, hey, how do I feel about combining computerized brain games with direct method training? It's okay, but it simply cannot compare. Now, I do get people, all they want to do is play games. I've had people who sign up for the subscriptions, get in and find out that they actually have to do some mental work, and they go into despair. Express to me, oh, I didn't really want to do all this. I just wanted to play some games. Duh. I send them on their way. I will not waste time with that kind of person. That's not developing your brain. That's not building brain power. Brain power is when you train your mind to enable you to do more with yourself and with your life. So, the lessons that have been taken from this past couple of weeks, don't forget studio subscriptions for the main studio. If you want live one-on-one training, personal training, consulting from me, you better get it this month at that one price of $199, because that's going to save you thousands of dollars. Because after this month, nobody will get it for less than $1,500 a month. But when the new subscriptions come around, you will be able to attend classes and get live training that way, but you'll be doing it with other people so that everybody benefits. When it comes to computerized brain games, direct method training is 1,000 times more powerful, 1,000 times more beneficial, but you can go ahead and do it all you want. I will not support binaural beats, holosync, or any of that nonsense. It is unscientific. I do not care how. All you got to do is look at the fake science they put out and claim it to be science. None of it is peer-reviewed. None of it is legitimate. When it comes to becoming the person you need to become that mental powerhouse, you must start where you are. Stop kicking yourself in the pants. You've got everything you need to be able to make a success in life. All you got to do is train your attention and master yourself so that you can have practical intelligence you need to get to where you need to go. Centering your attention on the vision of your future self is how you're going to make the most of yourself and how you're going to make the most significant changes in your brain over time. It is the most powerful brain training you can get. So, guys, mental focus versus aimless desires, coming up right after this musical break. Welcome back to the Mental Power Hour. Today we're talking about mental focus versus aimless desires. Brain training for laser-like mental focus in relation to capitalizing on the cognitive experience of desire itself. Now, let's talk a bit about the nature and the experience of desire. Now, everybody here knows they felt desire. You feel desire every single day. And I want to throw in a couple other words like urge, craving. When I say desire, you may as well throw in the term urge and craving also. But the type of desire that I'm going to move you toward has very little to do with simple urges and cravings. Because your problem is you have too many urges and cravings as it is. The type of desire that I want to move you toward, the nature of the desire that I want to move you toward, is something that is not merely temporary. It does not pop up out of the blue and compel you to do something that you're not supposed to do. It doesn't even compel you to do something that might be somewhat healthy for you because it popped up out of the blue. The type of desire that I want to aim you toward and to get you to start to educate yourself on is a long-term, permanent conditioning and mental phenomenon that you determine and that you construct within your own mind. That and not only is it combined, of course, of the various thoughts that you need to think in order to get to where you need to go, but it will contain the consistent emotions that support you along the way, that keep you up, that keep you pumped, that keep you moving forward. And these emotions will incite the types of urges that you need that say, okay, I need to take this action and I need to take it right now. But you don't do it because it just popped up. You did it because you constructed it in the first place. So let's take a look at the nature of and the experience of desire as it relates to your attention, your thoughts, your physiology, and your actions. So, desire. Let's say, let's take two types of desire. Let's take your desire to be with somebody and your desire to achieve a particular aim in life, in your career. Let's go with that one. The desire to be with somebody has a particular experience to it, a formula, if you will, a recipe, if you will. When you desire somebody, it's first generally going to be kicked off by an image. You're going to see something. It's a stimulus. That kicks off an idea in your head. You see yourself with them. That's the thought. Now, the first part, the stimulus, that was your attention. Now, for most of us, that's not going to be conscious attention. It's not going to be consciously directed attention. You just happen to be looking at that thing, or that particular person came across your field of vision, or you saw them on television or something like that. That was the attention portion. Remember, we're talking about the experience in relation to attention, thoughts, physiology, and then action. You saw this person. Somehow you perceived this person. That was your attention. It then incited an idea, a thought in your mind. You see yourself with this person, okay? You maybe see yourself holding hands or walking or sitting or kissing this particular person. That insight, that thought incites a physiological reaction in your body through your central nervous system. It kicks off pleasurable feelings or lustful feelings or some type of tension or even anxiety, because you might want this person so bad and you don't have them. So it started out with attention. There was a target, a stimulus, that kicked off a thought, that kicked off a physical, an actual physical reaction in your body, which prompts an action, some form of action. Now, some people say it's a reaction. No, it's an action. The reaction already happened in your mind, in your body. That was you experienced a physiological urge. That was what got kicked off in your central nervous system. And now there's an action that flows from that. Now, the action may not necessarily be to pursue that person, but the action may consist entirely of you giving more attention to that person, of seeking them out, of wanting to know more about them. All right? So you see the flow. You see the portions of the recipe. Attention, thought, physiological urge, okay, and action. The actual desire experience does not happen unless all these things are in play. If you don't receive the stimulus, you're not going to have the desire. The stimulus is normally going to be taking the form of seeing or perceiving the stimulus or thinking about it. Okay, in which case you perceive it in your own mind. You're going to have the thought about that. Something in your mind is going to say, "I want that. Gimme, gimme, gimme." All right. You're going to have a physiological reaction that seeks you when your brain pushes you, okay, pressure to get the thing. And then that's going to be followed by an action. Now, a lot of times with us, that action is only to crave the thing anymore, to continue to go through the cycle of desire without actually pursuing the thing. That it's pathetic. I remember I wrote an affirmation years ago that I would never ever again waste my time in desiring a thing unless I was intent on achieving it and getting it. Because I realized at some point that I was having so many desires for so many things each and every day that all I was doing was punishing and torturing myself. When you start to engage in attention control training, you start to actually perceive the machinations and the goings-on that are occurring in your own mind. You will start to understand how much punishment you go through every day because of uncontrolled desires. When I decided that I was not going to engage fruitlessly in desire unless I really intended to get a thing, that's when I started keeping track and actually noticing the number of desires that would occur on a given basis. And that's when I went through the process that I'm going to tell you about of detecting the occurrence, detaching my attention from it, and letting it fade away. Because it makes no sense to suffer day after day after day wanting a thing that you're never going to get. Or punishing yourself for not having something that you cannot possibly get. It is pathetic to long for someone or something that you have no chance of getting or no intention of getting. It's self-abusive. So, in that pattern, in that recipe of having attention, thoughts, physiological reaction, and action, the one thing you do not want to do is engage in patterns of constantly wanting something without going after it. That's like being in a mental prison. You don't want that. It's better you not have the desire than to punish yourself like that. So let's take the second example. Now, that was an example of you desiring somebody. Let's take the second example of desiring a particular ambition or goal. Let's say there's a career or business that you want to start. And let's say it does not exist for you right now. So, if you want it, it's generally going to be because you know that it's possible. Somebody else is already doing it. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you read about it. Maybe there was a video. Maybe there was a speech you went to. But the main thing is, it's going to exist more in your mind than it does out in the real world, because you're not doing it yet. So, it starts out with a perception. The attention is directed into your own thought. The desire exists primarily in thought. It is kicked off by thought. That is your stimuli. You want to build a business. You want a particular career. You want to get to some place that is not reality as of now. That thought kicks off a physiological reaction in your body. Now the cycle of desire is almost complete. That physiological reaction, that urge, that pressure that happens in your body makes you want to do something about it, makes you want to take action. You may go to the library, do some research. You may jump on the internet, type in a search about that particular business or that particular ambition, okay, to find out what the possibilities are. You are now wiring your brain to pursue that particular thing. That's if you don't have any interference from conflicting desires, ideas, or fears, or worries, or something that would get in the way of that desire. If you have no conflicts, if you have no interference, most likely, if your desire is reasonable, if it is rational, you will obtain it. And when I say rational, if you're an amputee and you decide you want to grow an arm, that's not entirely rational unless you're going to come up with the science to be able to do it, which of course would be honorable. But for the most part today, there are some things that are virtually impossible. So that kind of desire is just as wasteful as having a desire that you don't pursue. So, you want a particular career. Let's say you want to be a business owner. It happens in your mind. That's your stimulus. It kicks off a physiological reaction of pressure to take action. You go ahead and you take action. As long as that desire exists, and as long as that desire is consistent in your mind, and it will continue to kick off those urges, and you will continue to take those actions, and you will learn everything you need to learn to be able to make it happen, and then eventually you will get there. That would be the optimum outcome of desire. But unfortunately, that's not the way it is for most of us. The way it is for most of us is that we have a desire for a thing, and the moment we have that desire and the urge kicks up to take action, and even when we begin taking action, that's when interference and distraction starts to get in our way. If it were not for interference, and if it were not for distraction and conflict within our own mind, we would get what we want. We would build the lives that we really, most truly and sincerely want to build for ourselves. The typical scenario is you think about the career or business that you want to build. It kicks off in your thought. It kicks off that physiological reaction to want to take action. That's the pressure. That's the urge. That is entirely normal and natural. It's nearly animalistic. The brain is designed to achieve goals without you even having to do much conscious thought, which is why so many morons are able to achieve so much in society and politics and finance. It's animalistic. The brain is literally well constructed enough to do that stuff. Now, for most of us, we go through this process, and the moment we get to the point of taking action, then arises interference in the form of distraction and conflicting desires. The desire that you have this morning, for most people, will not be there by the end of the day. Why? You wake up in the morning, you think about the fact that you want to start the business or have this particular career goal. By the time you've gotten to breakfast, most of us have entirely forgotten about it, because it's been replaced by often by scores of other desires. I want to do the business. Man, breakfast sure would be nice. I'd love some eggs with some hash browns, maybe some sausage, some biscuits and gravy. There was the next desire that totally displaced the desire you were just thinking about. I want to go to the store. I want to go and buy. I want to go shopping. I want to get to work without getting stuck in traffic. I wonder if I can find out the best route. I want. I want to catch an episode of SportsCenter. I want to get on the internet and find out what happened down on Huffington Post. I want to find out what politician is doing this, what actress is doing this. I want to goof off. I want a distraction. I want to play some video games. I want. Desires uncontrolled, undisciplined, aimless, undirected, having no practical value whatsoever. They have from the moment you desired the thing to the time you got to breakfast, it is as though that initial desire never existed, because it's being replaced by desire after desire after desire, urge after urge after urge, craving after craving after craving. That is why so many people have such weak mental focus. Even people who you would look at and you think that they've arrived in life, when I talk to people who have gotten somewhere in business owners, and they say, hey, I want to get to this particular level, and I ask them about these things, I give them a particular set of exercises to do and tell them to report back to me. And I even tell them, if you run into problems, if you find yourself not doing what you're supposed to do, immediately call me. Let me be your safety net, and I will talk you back into the loop where you need to be. I do not get the call. I'll guarantee you, out of the last 100 people I've talked, the last 100 phone trainings that I've had with clients, and I've warn them about the mind's propensity to change itself from moment to moment to moment. And after I've warned them about this and told them that their biggest obstacle is going to be a changing mind, that to call me when they feel themselves slipping, out of the last 100 phone calls I've given that advice, not one single person has called me to rescue themselves when they needed to be rescued. Not one. That's how dangerous a changing mind can be to your ambition. That is how dangerous shifting desires, urges, and cravings can be. They absolutely sweep away your attention and make you totally forget what you're supposed to be doing. When they have your attention, they have you, they have your will. You don't even have a will. They are your will. Desire substitutes for your will when you have no control of your attention, when you have no conscious control of your attention in the present moment. It starts with your attention. It goes into your thoughts and your physiology and your actions. Rather than you following your genuine will, you are following the dictates, the commands, and the compelling urge and anxiety and tension of the desire itself. Rather than desire being a tool, it is a taskmaster that beats you around all day long. That is how risky it is. And of course, I've already given you the solution, and we're going to talk about three techniques that are going to get you there here shortly. So your solution to be able to control desire is to train your mind to be able to take ownership and responsibility of desire. What happens when you do that? Now let's go back through the process. You know that desire is kicked off by a stimulus. Either you think of something you want, or you see something you want, or you hear somebody say something, and then the next thing you know, you're wanting it. It you get the stimuli, and next thing you know, you're thinking about it. A thought has formed around it. The thought contains emotion and pleasure, or makes that kicks off the hunger physiological urge, the want of the thing. Those factors combined, you now have desire. Now, desire can be vague, it can be mildly intense, or it can be an absolute compulsion that you cannot, seemingly, that you cannot resist. It goes along that scale. And again, for most of us, it's uncontrolled. You wake up with one desire, a few minutes later you've got another craving, a few minutes later you got another, and it goes on and on all day long. You get to the end of the day, you have not lived your own life, you've lived at the dictates of the taskmaster, the slave driver that is desire. Now, when you start training yourself, you're going to interrupt that pattern, and it's going to start with what? The first factor, attention. Training your mind to take ownership of desire hinges on your ability to control your attention. That is the only thing that desire can take from you to enslave you. When you own your attention, desire can't make you do anything that you don't consciously decide to do. Now, this subject is about mental focus. When desire has you, your focus is whatever the desire is. When you have your own attention, your focus will be whatever you consciously decide. This is when you're about to make contact with your will. The use of attention is how you access willpower. Never mind the hundreds of desires that go through your central nervous system every single day. Never mind those. They don't matter. The only desire that matters is the one that you construct. If you did not construct it, it is not your desire. It has been conditioned into you. Training your mind to be able to own and use your desire to construct the life that you want means learning to master attention. Let's go down the line of the factors. Your faculty of attention, by training it, the first thing you will have control of is what you pay attention to. Just because a stimulus occurs either in your mind or out in the world does not mean that you instantly need to pour all your attention into it. A pretty girl walks by, a really handsome guy walks by, you see a picture of an ice cream pie on the TV, you're watching an infomercial and they tell you how it slices and dices and you got to have it right now and that's not all, blah, blah, blah. Your attention gets stolen by those things, and next thing you know, you're off and running or you're suffering. But when you train your attention does not get stolen by those things. You own it. You keep it in the here and now. Again, I think it's important to reiterate that when you don't have mastery of your attention, your mental focus, and I want you to pay close attention to this, your mental focus is whatever your desires are. And your desires are undisciplined, uncontrolled, undirected, thus aimless. Your mental focus is whatever your desires are. And that's true for most people. But when you master control of your attention, your desires are whatever your mental focus is. There is a significant difference, a world of difference between the two. Rather than your mental focus being driven by your desires, your desires become rewired to match your mental focus. I cannot possibly emphasize the importance of that concept enough. Attention training switches the gears, reverses the whole undisciplined process. It's too important not to reemphasize. Because this topic is about mental focus in relation to desire itself. So, you're looking to develop your mental focus. That means you're going to look to corral and direct your desire. That means you're going to have to master your attention. Because remember, it's attention, thoughts, physiology, then actions. Now, you're starting to master your attention. That means whenever a stimulus occurs, you're going to know if it's something that comes from you, if it's a proper stimulus, and if it's not, you're going to not give it your attention. You're going to hold your attention to yourself. You're going to keep it in the present moment. You're not going to allow your attention to go drifting off into thoughts about these things or these other desires or anything like that. You're going to hold it here now. That means you've got all the resources you need, mental resources, to put onto whatever ambition you decide is for you. Remember, we're talking about, in this particular case, a business or a particular career ambition. Because you're not distracted, there's nothing to keep you from moving in a straight line to where you want to go, as long as there are no other conflicting desires or mental interference from negative thoughts or anything that says that, you know, that would literally get in your way. Okay? I mean, if you desire a thing and it's followed up by something I call the law of opposites, and this is something I tell people about also, and most people don't even know about. You want a thing, and then the moment you want it and you see yourself with it, there's this slick, almost instantaneous, inhibiting thought, an inhibiting physiological and neurological reaction in your mind that says, no. It's conditioning. I call that the law of opposites. You see something, and then all of a sudden, boom, automatically, no. Or there's some fearful thought or some self-limiting thought that says you can't do it somehow. As long as you don't have that kind of a problem and you're able to control your attention and keep it out of conflicting or distracting desires and influences, you're going to go where it is you want to go as long as it's rational. And in this world, there are some amazing things that are entirely rational. If you're broke now and you want to become a millionaire, guess what? That is a rational objective. It can be done. It's done every single day. Thousands of people every year achieve that objective. That's entirely rational. You want to fly without the aid of wings or an airplane? Now you got yourself an issue. Okay? So, you own your desire. That means you're paying attention to every stimuli that comes across, and you know whether to immerse your attention into it or not. That means when you have a thought, which is also a stimulus, you know whether to give it your attention or not. You know whether that thought takes you away from where you really want to go, or whether it's moving you toward. Matter of fact, you realize with enough training that you don't have to think any thoughts unless you consciously do so. And if you go far enough in your training, you realize you can act without thinking at all. You can be mindful in the present moment and take action. Your brain is so powerful and so intelligent that you don't need to think in order to carry out even the most complex activities. You can conduct brain surgery without ever needing to think a single thought. That's how powerful your mind is. But we're not even talking about that advance. We're talking about basically just controlling your attention so that you know what kicks off an urge or an impulse or a craving in your body. When you have your attention, you know the source of what moves you. And we talked earlier about dancing to strings, about being a puppet on strings. Almost everybody you know, and for many of us, everybody you know, is a puppet being pulled by strings in the mind, being pulled by desires. Commercialism is dancing these people around. Their boss is dancing them around, is promising that paycheck is being dangled out in front of their face. The grocery store is making them dance on strings, making them desire. They are not in control of their desire. Now, when you train your attention, guess what? That's like having an invisible, gigantic pair of scissors. You are now able to cut the strings of external control over your life simply by maintaining your own attention, to have the responsibility and ownership of your attention. Desires don't make you dance to their tune. You cut the strings. That means when a chaotic and unexpected thought or an unexpected stimuli from television or the newspaper or magazine just kicks off a physiological urge in your body, it doesn't mean a thing to you because you have your attention. As long as you have your attention, you're not swept away. You're not taken off course. You've just cut the strings. You can feel the experience without being a part of the experience. You can move in your own direction, whereas most people cannot, because they're compelled to go wherever their desire takes them, because it has their attention. It has their mental focus. To them, the desire is the world. It is life. It is their reality, but it is not yours. So, train your attention enough, and then you in disconnect from enough of these meaningless, aimless desires, they will start to fade away as any thought or any physiological reaction is supposed to fade away. You're in the present moment. These things start to fade away. They start to have less and less of an impact on you. The only actions you begin to take at that point are the ones that you consciously decide you're going to take. That means you own your focus. You wake up in the morning and you have your attention. You do not allow your mind to start wandering off into all these places. You own your attention. That means you have the ability to construct your own thought in that moment and decide, okay, here's what I'm going to do today. This is what I'm going to go after. Here are the actions that I am going to take today. And then when you place your thoughts when you construct your thoughts in that particular way, the emotions you feel will be directly related to those thoughts that you had the presence of mind to construct yourself. Those are the feelings you're going to feel. And guess what urges and what desire you're going to feel in that moment? You're going to feel the desire that you just initiated. That physiological urge that you feel to take action is based entirely on what you just constructed. You just created, literally, your own desire that does your bidding. In truth, you don't even need the desire, because intellectually you've decided and you have nothing else interfering with your will. You'll simply go ahead and carry it out. But why not use the pleasure that desire can bring to give you even more momentum? So you constructed, you control your attention, you constructed your own thought, you initiated your own emotional incident, which kicked off your own physiological urge to take action, and so everything is aligned. You have what is referred to as a unified mindset. Your mind is entirely oriented to the one thing, the one dominant aim that you've created. You've used desire to move you to the right action to get what it is you want. And nothing can interfere with that as long as you maintain your attention. But the moment you forget, the moment you let go of your willful grip on your attention, then everything, it just all goes awry. The moment you let go, then you go back to your default mode network in your brain. And your default mode network relies entirely on external or internal stimuli via thought, emotion, physiological urge, and then whatever action you take after that is going to be based on those desires. You're back to being a robot again. You're back, the strings reconnect. But as long as you maintain attention, those strings can never, ever reconnect. You will be a free agent in this world. And all you got to do is decide what you are going to do with yourself, your life. And when you make that decision, you have totally constructed your own mental focus, true mental focus. You construct your idea. You construct your thought. You construct your emotions. You predetermine your own actions, and then you take them without interference. Practice this enough. Practice control of attention enough. And then when interference does pop up, you'll have all the tools you need to easily defy it. You don't have to resist. You do not have to fight desire. That's the mistake that most people make. They wrestle with their desires. They engage in inner conflict. You don't have to do those things. All you got to do is wake up. Come back to the here and now. Pull your attention out of that experience of desire. Desire is constructed of attention, thought, emotion, physiological urge, which leads to action. If you detach attention, you smother the whole fire. Remember, in order for there to be a flame, you need fuel, oxygen, and heat. Take away any of those three things and you cannot get a fire. Impossible. If you take attention away from the entire recipe of compulsion, of doing things you're not supposed to do that take you away from where you want to go, if you take attention out of it, nothing can lead you astray. Attention is your key. So, in developing powerful mental focus, the first thing you need to learn and to master is attention. And I just told you why mastering attention gives you mastery over desire itself. You can decide what you want to do, build a thought around that, get the right emotion, get the right urges, and you will do it. You'll simply move in a straight line as long as you can maintain attention. So, mastering the nature of desire hinges on attention. There are three techniques I want to give you that will allow you to investigate these facts that I just told you. There is nothing I've told you in this presentation that you cannot prove for yourself. This is the essence of real science when it comes to brain training. When it is replicable, when it is demonstrable, when you can prove it yourself through your own actions, you don't have to take my word for it. Use these three techniques and these approaches to start learning everything that you need to do. These are intuitive brain training techniques. Now, they are not exactly as I present them in the Neurosculpting Training Studio, but what I'm about to tell you is more than enough for you to get started. You will find something similar if you enroll in the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course, the free course. You will find hundreds of times more stuff if you become a paying subscriber to the studio. First technique, sitting still. I want you to remember, so I'm going to give you a phrase. The phrase is, simplicity is power. These three things I'm about to tell you are very simple, yet they are very powerful. They are direct method brain training. They require you to use your natural cognitive skills to get the results that we're looking for here. What we want, what results do we want? We want you to be able to have control over your attention so that you are not driven by aimless desires. We want you to be able to create your own desire, the ones you need to be able to get done what you need to get done. We want you to be able to be relaxed, to be able to achieve what you want to achieve in a very pleasant mental state. We want you to have no inner conflict. We don't want you to have to resist and to fight all these urges and compulsions. We want you to be able to simply smile, relax, and do what you will to do with no fear, with no hesitation, with no procrastination, with no worry and anxiety. And these things will teach you what you need to know in order to be able to do that. Sitting still. Let me give you an example. Find a comfortable chair. Make sure that the chair is not reclining very much. I don't want you in a physiological position that makes you tired or sleepy. I would rather you be sitting sort of straight up, but not rigid. I want your body relaxed. Sweep your body with your attention to make sure there's no muscular tension going on. Where you find it, just kind of shake it out. I want you breathing at a deep, even pace, relaxed, because it's about being comfortable, and you're going to simply sit still. But here's the difference. As you do this for, say, 15, 20, and as you build a little endurance, get to the 30-minute point. You're going to sit still without any disturbance around you. I want you in a quiet place because I don't want you to have to fight against any distraction. As you sit, you're going to simply monitor your body for tension. Okay? You're going to continually sweep your body. You're going to be aware of any tension that comes up in your body. But here's what you will not allow yourself to do. You will not allow yourself to drift off. You will not allow yourself to become caught up in a thought, whether it's a thought of the future, thought of the past, or any internal conversation about the exercise itself. Your task is not to talk to yourself. Your task is not to ask questions about the technique or to question its validity or its value. Your task is to sit relaxed, breathe, comfortable, and simply make sure you sweep your body with your attention to relieve any type of tension that might build up. Now, what are your obstacles going to be? Your obstacles, for the most part, are not going to be distractions outside yourself, because you're already going to be in a quiet place. Your obstacles are going to occur in your own mind. Thoughts are going to pop up. Your mind is going to want to engage in a conversation, is going to want to question what you're doing. Those are going to be your obstacles. The other obstacles you're going to face is you're going to feel urges and compulsions, possibly to move around, impulsivity, to get up, to do something else. Is there something on happening in another room? Is there something you're supposed to be, something else you should be doing right now? You're going to feel these things go through your mind. They're going to go after your attention. That's the first thing they're going to try to take, is your attention. They're going to woo your attention. Pay attention to me. I'm a necessary thought. I'm a necessary urge, and it's all crap. Your job is to ignore that stuff, not to listen to it, but to always go back to your target, your breathing, your body. Do the sweep. Stay out of thought. And that's all you got to do for 15 or 20 or 30 minutes, however you decide to do it. That is when you're going to start to notice, probably for the first time for some of you, the true nature of your mental obstacles. But you're also simultaneously going to start to learn the nature of attention. In order for you to do this technique, you're going to have to maintain your own attention. You're going to have to keep a grip on it. And for most of you, you're going to lose that grip over and over and over again. And then that's when you're going to understand what your real problem is. You constantly lose your attention. And you lose your attention not only to external distractions, you lose your attention to the distractions in your own mind, your own thoughts, your own emotions and impulses and urges and desires. If you stop giving up your attention, you're already winning, and you're practicing it in this technique. Stop giving away your attention to mindless distractions that occur in your own mind. The next technique, you're going to start to discover your attention bubble. Your attention is basically tied to your consciousness, your ability to be aware of the fact that you are alive and that you exist. It's called an attention bubble. You are able to perceive your body and the world around you in something akin to a bubble. Sometimes some people might describe it as a lens, a camera lens, okay? It's like a round perception. You can shrink it or you can grow it. I can get you to shrink your attention bubble down to the size of a dot by simply placing a dot in front of you and telling you to pour all your attention into it. Your perception, your attention bubble, shrinks down to the size of that dot, and that's pretty much all you can perceive if you will yourself to do that. That dot becomes the entire world to you. It is all that exists if your concentration is strong enough. The world around you just kind of fades out into background noise, into cognitive background noise that you can barely perceive. You don't even know the world is there except for that dot. Or I can get you to expand that bubble to where you can perceive most of your body. I can say, okay, I want you to feel the clothes as they touch your skin. I want you to feel the bottom of your feet. I want you to notice the breath that's coming into your body. That's when you expand your attention bubble. You can now perceive more things. I can tell you, okay, I want you to start to perceive the room around you. Your attention bubble went from the size of a dot to now being the size of the room. Now, it's not literally the size of the room, but from your subjective experience, that's how big your attention bubble is. All right? Now, you're going to start to work with your attention bubble through this technique. you're going to start to notice what's happening in your body. And it's a simple breathing technique. It is not like breathing concentration, which is in the 7 Days to Better Brain Fitness course. This is simply paying attention to your breath. I want you for 15, 20, or 30 minutes, however long you can do it, I want you to give attention entirely and only to your breath and the way your body feels. That is the only thing that matters in this entire world. Nothing else matters. You are not to get caught up in thought. You are not to drift off into conversations with yourself. You are not to analyze. You are not to criticize or anything. Your only task is to breathe and to give attention to the fact that you are breathing. I want you to know your breath. And I want you to be able to, at the same time, feel your body. What do the clothes feel like on your body? What's the temperature of the room on your skin? What does that feel like as you breathe? Do not lose the breath. If you lose breath, you've lost everything. Go back to breath. Always back to breath. And then expand your bubble until you can sense your body as you are breathing at the same time. Do this for 15, 20, or 30 minutes. The third technique I'd like you to try out, and this is a good one, mindful eating. You're going to eat your meals, but you're going to do it in a different way. I want you to remember what you've learned in the first technique of sitting still and the second technique of the attention bubble of breathing and body. And I just want you to sit down, relax, no tension in your body. Here's one of the things, the first things you may detect is that when you sit down to eat and there's a delicious meal sitting there in front of you, if you were to pay enough attention, you would detect a strange sensation of anxiety and tension in your body. Your body is craving this thing that you're about to eat. And it's pathetic. That is why so many people overeat and they gorge themselves and they lose track of their health goals, because the desire that is because of the desire that's kicked off in their own body by the stimulus of the meal itself, or the thought of the meal, or of the dessert, or something like that. I need you to start to detect the effect that these stimuli have on your mind and body. So when you sit down for the meal, you're not going to dig in. You're going to sit for a moment, relax, breathe, expand your attention bubble so that you can detect your entire body, and breathe. Now the food is sitting there in front of you. It's called, the sight of it, the smell of it, is kicking off reactions in your body. And your objective is to ignore those reactions and to own your attention in the moment. Do not drift off into thoughts or opinions. The cravings, you can detect them in your body, but you're not participating because you're just sitting and observing what's happening within yourself. At some point, after your body is relaxed and you've let go of those cravings and those urges, that tension, when you've relaxed all that and you've let go of it, you've detached yourself from it, you can then reach for your eating utensil and slowly, at least half speed, I don't want you going any faster than half speed on this than you would normally, because you're conscious now. You're not sitting down and wolfing down food mindlessly, as most people do. You're not allowed to watch television or anything in this. You are quietly eating. You're going to bring the food up. You're going to at half speed, you're going to take that first bite on your fork or spoon or whatever, and then you're going to bring it up slowly to your mouth. Then you're going to smell it. You're going to take in that smell. You're going to be aware of that sensation. You're going to be aware if it triggers any type of reaction in your body. And then you're going to open up, put it in your mouth, and you're not going to swallow it. You're going to start chewing it. And you're going to chew it slowly. I want you to taste every bit. And then notice the reaction that happens in your body as the flavor starts to course through your central nervous system. You never noticed these things before because you're mechanically eating and you're eating at a certain speed. Now you're going at least half speed or even slower. And I want you to notice how these things kick off in your body, because this happens to you all the time, all day long, in reaction, as a part of the desire process that courses through you all the time. When you start to notice these things, it can be a little bit embarrassing. Now you know why you're driven by mindless effects such as these. But now you're going to notice the process, and you're going to act differently. Now, this may seem like a small exercise, but by mindfully eating your food, you're not going through the mechanical processes, the mindless processes that you always go through. You are now defying habit. And if you do this enough times consecutively, you are forming an entirely new habit. You are literally learning to control your attention, which is going to have a profound effect on your life, because you can then begin to see how it affects the rest of your life. Why do you take a bunch of crap from people you don't like? Why do you kiss people's behind and kowtow and try to ingratiate yourself to people you know you don't like and who don't like you? It's because of the very same things that happen while you're sitting down eating a meal. Why do you not do the things you know you're supposed to do in order to achieve the goals you're supposed to achieve? If the secret is right there while you're sitting there eating that food. Why do you waste money on things you know you don't need? Why do you blow your budget every single time? The secret is right there as you sit there eating your food. You're going to discover these things. They're simple exercises, but they're very, very powerful. And they will get you to start doing the things you need to do to have vastly stronger mental focus. These three exercises are going to allow you to start getting control of your attention. They're going to get you to start paying attention to the thoughts that course through your mind in reaction to the stimuli that you see and that you perceive in your own mind. They're going to get you to start doing something about your physiology to get you out of the patterns of desire, okay, that cause you to do the things that you do that don't take you in a straight line the way you want to go to your goal. They're going to get you to start doing actions in defiance of the urges and the cravings that you have now, which means you're going to start acting consciously. You're now going to be able to control your attention, decide what you want, notice what's going on inside your own mind and body, and act only in relation to those thoughts and those physiological reactions that support what you want to do. And you're no longer going to do them mindlessly. You're going to start doing things mindfully. When you stop eating like a machine, you will stop doing everything else like a machine if you pay attention to those lessons. So let those lessons sink in. Feel free to listen to this show as many times as you need to be able to go back and get that information, because I know I've given you a lot in this 2 hours. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Mental Power Hour. Next week, again, we're going to have an open line show, frequently asked questions. That's the show you want to call in to ask all the questions you want. We'll see you next week on the Mental Power Hour. Thanks for tuning in.